بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our eighth session reading from منهج يومي لطالب العلم, a daily routine for the seeker of knowledge by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah in the commentary of the Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Musin al-Abad al-Badr. حفظهم الله, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight we're going to be looking at the last section, the last fourth, or the last section of the advice of Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, which deals with the path or the road to seeking knowledge. Before doing so, we want to look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 7. The first question being, mention the first three areas outlined by the author, rahimahullah, as part of one's daily routine in life. Yani just any the basic summarized idea of what are the first three areas that we talked about in brief. One. Huh? I know that it's a little bit of any lack of clarity because of the book being divided into four areas and each area being divided into four or five or six points. What I'm asking here, I'm asking about the book is divided into four areas of advice. We have covered three of those areas from the beginning of this course until end. We covered three of them. Tonight we're looking at the fourth area of guidance. The first three areas, in summary, the first of them is what? Adhkar al-Sabah. That's from the actions of our daily actions from the non-obligatory duties. I'm not talking about the details. I'm talking about just the general idea of what was the first area of guidance that this book talks about. The first area of guidance. Yes, sir.
Having a routine with Allah.
Your routine with Allah. Four areas. The first area talks about your routine with Allah. What is your relationship with Allah? How should be, yani, your life in terms of relationship with Allah? And the Shaykh mentions there are four matters. We're not talking about that now. We're just talking about general. The first area is your relationship with Allah. Second area, Wali, Abdul Wali.
Your manhaj with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yani what is your relationship, what is your activity, your duties in reference to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh mentioned three things, three specific things under that second area. The third area that we finished last week, the third area of guidance, Sharif. Your daily routine outside of your obligations, outside of your obligatory duties. What are the things that a Muslim should be doing? And here the Shaykh mentioned five matters. He mentioned five matters. These are the first three areas, general areas that the Shaykh talks about in his advice. And tonight we're going to look at the fourth area. Tonight we're going to be looking at the fourth area, that is the tariqah, the path of seeking knowledge. And he gives some specific advices, six matters in particular related to the path and seeking knowledge. So the first question is, the first three areas of guidance, general areas, yani your manhaj with Allah, your manhaj with the Messenger of Allah, and your daily activities other than the obligatory duties. Question number two, memorize the third advice of the author under one's daily routine outside of one's obligatory duties. The daily routine outside of your obligatory duties. That was the third area. So what is the first advice that he gave under that area? The first advice that the Shaykh gave under one's daily routine outside of the obligatory duties. Now, I'm sorry, what is the, memorize the third advice. I said the first. The third advice of the author under one's daily routine outside of the obligatory duties. The third advice. Now, the first advice was what? When you wake up in the night, to mention Allah, to supplicate to Allah, and to recite these ayahs from Surah Ali Imran. The second advice was? Huh? Praying, yani, whatever you can of the night, in the last part of the night, ending it with witr. So this question is, memorize the third advice of the author under one's daily routine, outside of the obligatory duties. Okay, I'm going to go over to Ahmed. Naam. Yani, that a person, somebody else translate. Naam. Says Hafiz, naam, Hafiz. Yani, it's the fi'l amr, hafiz ala ma تذكر من أذكار الصباح. نعم. What does that mean?
Hold fast to
the guard, to protect, to preserve, to observe carefully. Yani, whatever is easy for you, whatever you are able to do of the adhkar of the morning words of remembrance. And also the Shaykh said under there what? Along with that point, he said what? He gave an example. Qul miyata marra, what? MashaAllah. I can't say that I really heard what you said, just so many people talking the same different words at the same time. But the point is, the Shaykh said, under that point of guarding and protecting and preserving the adhkar or sabah, the morning words of remembrance, he mentioned one example. That is to say 100 times, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. This dhikr has been mentioned with some variant wordings in different hadith, that are slightly different, but the basic meaning is the same. This particular hadith mentions saying it like this 100 times. So the Shaykh mentioned that as an example of the adhkar of the morning and evening. Tayyib. Question number 3. Mention the rewards of reciting La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulk, wa lahul hamdu ala kulli shayin qadir, 100 times. What is mentioned in the hadith that we mentioned last week as the reward for doing so? Thailand.
He will receive the reward for freeing 10 slaves.
The person will receive a reward equal to freeing 10 slaves. Somebody else, what else? Naam, Amin. Miat hasana. What does that mean in English? The person will have recorded for them 100 good deeds. Zaki. Okay, being protected from the morning to evening. Protected from what? From shaitan. Last one he mentioned. Hanif. 100 sins of your sins will be removed, will be erased. Naam. Question number 4. Memorize the fourth advice. The fourth advice of the author, rahimahullah, under one's daily routine outside of one's obligatory duties. Outside of the obligatory duties. The fourth advice. Adam. To perform the two rak'ah of Salat al-Duha. Salat al-Duha. What is the time of Salat al-Duha?
After sunrise,
about 15 minutes after sunrise, up until? How much time before Dhuhr? About the same amount of time. About 15 minutes before Dhuhr. Now, question number 5. Mention the other two advices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, given to him with this one, yani the performance of two rak'ah of Dhuhr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned to him two other things. What were they? Naam, Ali.
The first thing he mentioned was he advised him to pray 3 times out of the month.
Okay, to fast.
Fast.
To fast 3 days out of every month. The last thing, want somebody else. What was the last thing he said? Naam. And don't sleep before praying witr. Yani perform witr before sleeping, and that's in the situation of the person who what? Yeah, who doesn't expect to wake up. A person who does not expect to wake up. Whether that's their norm, that they don't normally wake up, or maybe they're extremely tired and they think, I'm not going to wake up. In any case, when a person doesn't expect to wake up, it's better that the witr prayer is so important that they should pray it before they sleep. Question number 6. Memorize the fifth advice of the author, rahimahullah, under one's daily routine, outside of one's obligatory duties. The fifth advice. The fifth and last advice. Somebody back here, I didn't hear from in the back. Talib.
Adhkar? Adhkar, Masari.
Mata yassara laka? Minha. Yani that a person guard, protect, and preserve to observe carefully, consistently, the morning, the evening adhkar, the evening words of remembrance. Mata yassara laka? Minha, yani whatever is easy for you from them. There are many, and a person should do, and he should observe carefully as much of it as one is able to do. Question number 7. Discuss the preferred times for the adhkar of as-sabah and the adhkar of al-masah, morning and evening, words of remembrance. The time of those adhkar. Now, Amir, I got to look over this side sometime, all the way in the corner. Adhkar as-sabah is ba'd salatul fajr, okay. Adhkar al-masah ba'd salatul asr. Anybody want to add to that anything? That's correct. Anybody want to add to that? Naam. After Salatul Fajr up until sunrise. And the Adhkar al-Masa, what, Abdul Wali?
After Asr until sunset.
After Asr until sunset. Please make a note. This is as is recorded in the hadith that we mentioned last week, that the Prophet ﷺ said, it will be more beloved to me than the freeing of four slaves from the children of Ismail alayhi salam, that I sit with the people, not in congregation, but sitting in the masjid, after the Fajr prayer and after the Asr prayer, engaging in the remembrance of Allah. These are the preferred time for Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa. If a person missed them, should they just give it up altogether?
No.
Should still do it. But these are the times that are preferred, that's legislated for Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa. Last question, mention another one of these magnificent Adhkar, words of remembrance of morning and evening, and its reward or benefit. And its reward or benefit. Naam, Adam. Oh, I'm sorry. Adam, would you mind if I give it to somebody else?
No problem at all. No problem at all.
Help me. Yusuf. Now we got to get Yusuf in because we didn't have it. You don't mind, right? For Yusuf, right? For Yusuf. Yusuf is special. Go ahead, Yusuf. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. 100 times. Somebody help him with the rest of it. What is the reward for that? What's the reward for that, Talib? A person's sins will be removed even if they were equal to the foam of the sea. These are some of the matters that we discussed last week. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, tonight we're gonna go to the next area, yani the fourth area of advice of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, yani the path of seeking knowledge. And I was talking with some brothers earlier today, yani before the class, and I mentioned something that I wanted to mention tonight. I'm going to summarize it tonight since I already talked about it. I'm just going to make it brief this time. And that is that the questioner asked the Shaykh to give him a daily minhaj, yani for the seeker of knowledge. And a person would imagine that he's going to talk to him about how to seek knowledge. But before he talked about that, in the end here, he talked about the foundation that has to be in place before that. And that foundation is a person knowing what is your relationship with Allah and what is your relationship with the Messenger of Allah. And then beginning to actually apply it, to practice Islam, to fulfill the obligatory duties, and as the Shaykh mentioned in the last section, the things that are not obligatory but that are critically essential and important for a person who is serious about getting on the path of seeking knowledge. These things have to be in place first. What is your relationship with Allah? What are your obligations to Allah? And your obligations to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do you worship Allah? And what is obligatory upon us in reference to Allah? We worship Him, that all worship belongs to Him. And how we do it is from the Sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if a person wants to be serious about seeking knowledge, the purpose of knowledge is to act upon it. So you must begin to act. And not later, I'll accumulate information and then later I'll start doing something. No, you have to start doing it now. And then as you seek knowledge, you will be already in the process of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so now we reach to the last part, and that is 6 advices that the Imam has given related to the path of seeking knowledge. In English, we're reading from the top of page 38. And in Arabic, we're reading from the bottom of page 45. Here, on the bottom of the page, this is a quote from Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, Rabian. Yani the fourth matter of the four areas of advice, tariqatu talab al-ilm. Tariqatu talab al-ilm. Yani the path or the road or the method of seeking knowledge. Sheikh Abdul Razak says, qala Rabian, ay fi manhajiyati li talibi al-ilmi. Yani the fourth matter is in reference to the path or the road or the method for a student of knowledge. For the student of knowledge. What is his manhaj? What is his tariqah, his path for seeking knowledge? Number one, احرس على حفظ كتاب الله تعالى. Be diligent and eager and serious about memorizing the Book of Allah the Most High. This is the first advice that Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen has given. Yani from a real scholar, he has given to those who want to get on the path of seeking knowledge. He said, be diligent, be eager, be serious about memorizing the Book of Allah the Most High. That's something that you can't escape from. We cannot escape from this. That a person has to be serious about this. Take this matter serious. Memorizing the Book of Allah. And here it's pretty clear, especially when we see what he says after this in the next point, it's pretty clear that he means the entire Book of Allah. Be serious about memorizing the Book of Allah, the Most High, all of it. وَجَعَلْ لَكَ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ شَيْئًا مُعَيَّنًا تُحَافِظُ عَلَى قِرَاعَتِهِ. And make for yourself every day something specific that you will guard and protect and preserve and adhere to its reading. Yani something specific portion of the Quran that you're going to be consistent in reading every single day. This is the second matter. The first matter is what? Memorizing the Book of Allah. The second matter is reading the Book of Allah, a specific portion every single day. So this first point consists of two matters. The first part of it is being serious about memorizing the Book of Allah. And the second part of it is being serious about reading the Book of Allah. And the next two points of this first point are related to the second point about reading. The Shaykh says, وَاجْعَلْ لَكَ كُلَّ يَوْمًا شَيْئًا مُعَيَّنًا تُحَافِظُ عَلَى قِرَاءَتِهِ. Make for yourself every day a specific portion, meaning of the Qur'an, that you're going to be consistent in reading. وَلْتَكُنْ قِرَاءَتُكَ بِتَدَبُّرٍ وَتَفَحُّمٍ. This is the third matter. It's related to the second matter. That is, that reading that you're going to do every day, let your reading be with تَدَبُّرٍ وَتَفَحُّمٍ. Let your reading be with the intent that I'm going to reflect, to ponder over what I'm reading. وَتَفَحُّمٍ. So that I may understand it. That a person's intent in reading the Qur'an is not that I have to read my juz every day. The intent is that when I read whatever I'm going to read, I want to reflect and ponder and contemplate what I'm reading. This is the speech of Allah. And I want to understand it. How many people read the Qur'an? Just go to any masjid and you'll see people reading Qur'an. But how many of us read the Qur'an with the intent of reflecting on its meaning? Not hastily reading 2 or 3 pages or 1 or 10 pages or whatever, but reflecting on what we're reading so that we may understand it. The fourth point, also related to the second point, the reading, he said, وَإِذَا عَنَّتْ لَكَ فَائِدَةً أَثْنَاءَ الْقِرَاءَةِ فَقَيِّدْهَا. That if any benefit appears to you while you are reading what you read every day from the Qur'an, فَقَيِّدْهَا, yani tie it up. Lock it down. Yani write it down so that you don't forget it. Write it down. Here, this is the first advice for the yani seeker of knowledge, on the path of seeking knowledge. The first advice is what? Be serious about memorizing the entire Book of Allah. And if a person completes it or not, that's with yani we don't know. We're not guaranteed that. But at least a person has to have an intent that I do have as a goal to memorize the Book of Allah. The second matter is that every day I'm going to have a specific portion from the Book of Allah that I'm going to read. And I'm going to read it with the intent of contemplating, pondering over its meanings so that I may understand it. And if I find any benefit during that reading, I'm going to write it down so I can go back to it later on and benefit from it again. This has to be implemented. We normally don't take questions except at the end. I think you know that. It's been a long time, but you've been here before. Well, not here, maybe, but over there in the other place. Brooklyn. But if it's pressing, okay. Since you're like a guest coming from out of town, we might let you ask a question sometimes. Now, so this is a very important advice, and this is connected to the second advice, which is related to the sunnah. But before we look at the second advice, just briefly, some of what the Sheikh Abdul Razak mentions concerning this first matter. Again, the first matter is four things. The first two are the basis of it, being serious about memorizing the Qur'an and being serious about reading the Qur'an every day. And the second two are related to the second matter, how you read. And you read with tadabbur and tafahum, seeking to contemplate and understand what you're reading, and you take notes when you come across something of benefit while you're reading. The Shaykh says, من المعاني, Shaykh Abdul Razak, من المعاني والهدايات التي تدل عليها آيات القرآن الكريم. And from amongst the meanings and the matters of guidance which the ayat of the noble Qur'an point to, from amongst those meanings that a person is seeking to understand, that a person is contemplating over, to understand, to act upon them. From amongst those meanings is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ Surah Al-Isra, which is the 17th surah and 9th ayat. Indeed, this Qur'an, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ, this Qur'an, as opposed to any other books of revelation, the Torah, Injil, or whatever. This Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying emphatically, indeed, this Qur'an, يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ It guides to that which is more upright. Some of the scholars said that يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي يَعْنِي الطَّرِيقَ The path, الَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ It guides to the path that is more upright. يعني أعدلوا أعلوا أعلى أسوب أوضح يعني the scholars of tafsir describe this tariqah that is أقوم as being more just or higher or more clear or more correct. يعني it guides to the path that's all of that. That's all of that. الشيخ عبد الرحمن السعدي رحمه الله, he says, this path that it guides to that is more upright or more just is in all matters. In al-aqa'id, what we believe in, al-a'mal, the things that we do, the acts of worship that we do, wal-akhlaq, and in our character and manners. And he guides to that which is most upright in all areas of this deen, in our belief system, in our worship system, in our character and manners, in all of that. It guides to that which is upright. The Shaykh al-Imam, he says in his tafsir of this ayat, I'll just make one quote from him here. He says, فَمَنْ اِحْتَدَى بِمَا يَدْعُ إِلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنِ كَانَ أَكْمَلَ النَّاسِ وَأَقْوَمَهُمْ وَأَهْدَاهُمْ فِي جَمِيعِ أُمُورِهِ And Imam Sa'di rahimahullah says, whoever follows the guidance that this Qur'an is calling to, that person will be the most perfect of the people and the most upright of the people and the most rightly guided of the people in all of his affairs. In all of his affairs. This few words in this ayah is from amongst those ma'ani al-hidayat, the matters of guidance that a person will come across when they're reading the Qur'an that a person has to make note of, has to stop on this and ponder over what is being said here. Perhaps we have read this ayat and we didn't read the tafsir and we just took it on the surface, even in Arabic, without actually pondering, reflecting, contemplating what Allah is saying here. Indeed, certainly this Qur'an, it guides to that which is best, most correct, the highest, the loftiest, the noblest, the most rightly guided, yani in all affairs. And whoever follows it will be the best of the people in everything. وَاللَّهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَى يَقُولُ And Allah also says, كِتَابٌ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ And Surah Sad, 38th Surah, 29th Ayah. And Allah also says in the Qur'an, كِتَابٌ يعني this is a book. أنزلناه إليك. We have sent it down to you, مباركٌ, blessed, يعني full of خير, full of blessings. For the purpose of what it was sent down? لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. It was sent down so that you will reflect, you will examine, you will look at it carefully, ponder over its meanings, contemplate its ayat. And also, لِيَذَّكَّرَ أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, so that the people of understanding, the people who have عقول, who have intellect, who have minds to think, so that those people, they can be reminded and encouraged, yani to act better. I am tempted to read a little bit of what Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di says in his tafsir of this ayah. First he says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ, yani it is a book that we have sent down to you that's blessed, meaning it's full of much good and much knowledge and abundance of knowledge and guidance from misguidance that leads a person, yani that protects a person from misguidance, and healing from sickness, and light that will, yani, enlighten the darkness, and rulings that every person who is responsible, every person who reached the age of responsibility where they're responsible, it gives them the rulings that they are in need of. And it also has, yani, conclusive evidences for every matter. He says, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, yani, to reflect upon its ayat. The Shaykh says, هَذِهِ الْحِكْمَةِ, الْحِكْمَةِ مِنْ إِنْزَالِ, this is the wisdom, the purpose, the reason for which it was sent down. It was sent down for a person to reflect upon its meanings, to think over it again and again and again. And in this way a person will achieve the barakah, the blessings and the khair that it contains. The Shaykh says, وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْحَفْ عَلَى تَدَبُّرُ الْقُرْآنِ, yani this ayat indicates that it is encouraged that a person reflect upon the Qur'an, and that it is from أَفْضَلَ الْعَمَالِ, yani contemplating the meanings of the Qur'an is from the best of deeds, and that this qira'ah al-mustamila على التدبر أفضل من سورة التلاوة التي لا يحصل بها هذا المقصود. And that this reading with reflection and contemplation, that includes reflection and contemplation, is better than reading quickly, which is common today amongst the Muslims. Yani that reading which doesn't achieve the intended goal for which the Quran was sent down. وَلِيَذَّكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, yani the أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ are the people who have correct, sound minds, that they will be reminded through their reflection and contemplation. They will be reminded of everything of knowledge and everything that is desired or required. And this indicates that it is in accordance with the intellect, the minds of the human being. In accordance with that, yani, a person will achieve the thing that is desired, to be reminded, to be, yani, instructed, to be reminded and to benefit from this book. Yani, that a person has to have a sound mind that they use to reflect upon the Qur'an, in which case they will benefit from it. After these two ayat, yani, the Shaykh, he says, فَيَجْعَلُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَرُدًا يَوْمِيًا, so a person makes for himself a daily portion of the Qur'an that they're going to read every single day. Whether it is one juz of the Qur'an, or half of a juz, or a quarter of a juz, or two or three pages, whatever a person has set for themselves, he said, a person should set some fixed amount that they're going to read from the Qur'an daily and stick to it. وَأَفْضَلُ طَرِيقَةٍ طَرِيقَةُ الصَّحَابَةِ, and the best, yani, method is the method of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَهِيَ تَحْزِيبُ الْقُرْآنِ, and it is that the Qur'an be divided into portions, إِلَى سَبْعَةِ أَحْزَابِ, seven portions, yani seven, the Qur'an divided into seven equal portions, بِحَيْثُ يَخْتِمُ فِي كُلِّ أُسْبُوعٍ مَرَّةٍ, such that a person will complete the reading of the Qur'an Yani complete reading of the Quran every week. Yani in 7 days. 7 portions, every day they read a portion, and they will complete the Quran in 7 days. The Shaykh then says, وَإِنْ خَتَمَ أَوْ قُتِمَ فِي كُلِّ شَهْرٍ. And even if yani the complete reading of the Quran is once in a month, meaning that the Quran is divided into what people normally look at today, yani 30 parts. So that every day a person reads one part, and in that way they would complete the reading of the Quran every month. If a person did that. Or if they did it, they completed the Quran in 40 days. Or in 20 days. Or in 10 days. If they did it every week, or even in 3 days. وَلَا أَقَلُّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And not less than that. لَكِنْ يَجْعَلْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا ثَابِتًا يُوَاظِبُ عَلَيْهِ. The point is though, that a person has a fixed amount that they stick to, and that they are consistent in reading that portion every single day. And the Shaykh closes this comments here by saying, أَحَبَّ الْعَمَلْ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهُ وَإِنْ قَلَّ. Hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Yani that the most beloved deed to Allah is that which is done consistently, yani regularly, persistently, even if it is little or a small amount. The most beloved deed to Allah is that which a person is regular, that they are consistent in doing, even if it is a small amount. There's a footnote here where the Shaykh says that the best tariqah is the tariqah of the companions, and that is to divide the Quran into 7 portions, that a person reads 1 portion every day and finishes the Quran every week. And he mentions here the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. He said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اِقْرُوا الْقُرْآنَ اِقْرُوا الْقُرْآنَ فِي شَهْرٍ. Yani Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, he said, the Messenger of Allah said, read the Qur'an in a month, meaning complete it in 1 month, reading 1 of 30 parts every single day. قُلْتُ إِنِّي أَجِدْ قُوَّةً. I said, yani, indeed, I have the strength to do more than that. Yani, 1/30th every day, I can do that easily. I have the strength to do more than that. حَتَّى قَالَ فَقْرَأْهُ فِي سَبْعٍ وَلَا تَزِدْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Until he went back and forth with the Prophet ﷺ, until the Prophet said, read it in 7 days. And don't do more than that. Yani, don't read it in less than 7 days. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Before we go on to the next point, I just want to also add to what to this hadith that the Shaykh mentions here. The importance of reading the Quran every day, and whether a person finishes it in 30 days, or in 20 days, or 10 days, or in a week, or even in 3 days. And the point is that a person has to be consistent in doing so. Because the Quran contains so many benefits. The Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person being occupied with the Quran is of the utmost importance for a Muslim. In this light, there's another hadith in which that encourages the reading of the Quran, and that is Naam. The hadith that is also reported from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, and this hadith is reported in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi and the Sunan of Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah rahimahumullah and Shaykh al-Albani, and Sahih ibn Majah said that it's Sahih.
In this hadith, it's reported that Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَفْقَهُ مَنْ قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ فِي أَقَلِّ مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. Yani that a person who reads the Qur'an in less than 3 days is not going to comprehend it. So this was the understanding of the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani of the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was the understanding of the people who followed after them, that the common practice, as the Shaykh mentions, of the companions was that they used to read the Qur'an in its entirety every week, and it's also narrated, yani from the same companion that the Prophet ﷺ discouraged a person by saying a person wouldn't understand the Qur'an if they read it in less than 3 days. So the normal practice of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ was to read the Qur'an every week, and they didn't used to read it in less than 3 days. Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, in his book, Lataif al-Ma'arif, he mentions something that should be just noted here and passing quickly. He mentions that there were special occasions and special places in which the people of the early generations of the Muslims, yani, used to read the Qur'an even in less than 3 days. And this is a special situation, and this wasn't the norm. It's not something that a person should do regularly. He said, Qatada, he used to complete the Qur'an 7 in 7 days. Kullu sab'an, da'iman. That's what he used to always do, rahimahullah. But in Ramadan, he used to complete it in 3 days. وَفِي عَشْرَ الْأَوَاخِرِ, and in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, he used to complete the Qur'an, kullu layla, every night. It is also reported, as mentioned by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, كَانَ لِلشَّافِعِ, that Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, in Ramadan, he used to complete the Qur'an 60 times, in other than what was read in the prayers. And this is also reported from Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. So, Ibn Rajab, he says that what is understood from the prohibition of reading the Qur'an in less than 3 days is that a person do that constantly, continuously. But rather, there are some virtuous times, like the month of Ramadan, especially in the last nights of Ramadan in which a person is seeking Laylatul Qadr. And there are some virtuous places, like Mecca, for the person who enters it who's not from the people of Mecca, that increasing in the recitation of the Qur'an, seeking the blessings and the bounties of those virtuous times and virtuous places is mustahab. It's mustahab. The normal way of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ was that they used to read the Qur'an in 7 days and not less than 3 days, and in special occasions and special places sometimes. Yani, it is known from the Salaf that they used to read the Qur'an in less than that amount of time. Now, the last thing that I want to say here, Wallahu musta'an, time is finished. Wallahu musta'an. Tayyib, the last thing that I want to say, it's, yani, I feel incumbent to at least say this, and we'll have to adjust our timing a little bit. And that is that Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he mentions in this first advice, he mentions 4 things, or you can say 2 things. The importance of first and foremost what? Memorizing the Qur'an. And secondly, the importance of reading the Qur'an regularly, a fixed portion regularly, reading it with contemplation and yani seeking to understand it and taking down the points of benefit that a person may come across. The first point, the importance of memorizing the Qur'an, the Shaykh didn't comment on it. So I do want to comment on it just briefly here, even if we run out of time. I want to just comment on it briefly because I think it's important that our focus, practically speaking, shouldn't be limited to just reading the Qur'an every day. Rather, a person should be trying to memorize the Qur'an. Even for old people, na'am, who find difficulty, no doubt about it, real difficulty. But still, if a person is memorizing something, that's better than nothing. One hadith that's mentioned concerning this is also from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu. And this hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood. And it is, yani, Shaykh al-Albani says that it's sahih. It is reported from Abdul Muhammad ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it will be said, يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبْ al-Qur'an. Sahib al-Qur'an. It will be said to the companion of the Qur'an, اقرأ وَارْتَقِي. ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا. يعني recite and rise up. Recite like you used to recite in the world, in the dunya. فَإِنَّ مَنْزِلَكَ
in the آخر الآية تقرأها أو تقرأ بها.
For indeed your station in paradise will be where you reach when you recite the last ayah that you used to memorize.
And he says read, but in any case the meaning is what you memorized.
Sheikh Al-Albani, after mentioning this hadith and mentioning that it's sahih, he said similarly it's narrated from Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, and the wording is yuqal li sahib al-Quran, it will be said to the companion of the Quran, idha dakhala al-jannah, when that person enters jannah, ikra was'ad, read and rise. فَيَقْرَى وَيَصْعَدْ. So he will recite and he will rise up بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ دَرَجَةٍ. For every ayah, he will rise up, yani one degree, حَتَّى يَقْرَى آخِرَ شَيْءٍ مَعَهُ, until he recites the last of what is with him from what he memorized. Why do I say what he memorized? Because yani the meaning here is not as Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah said, it's not as some people imagine, that it's just you're going to recite as much as you can, and as long as you can recite, you're going to keep rising. Rather, the meaning is what you have memorized from the Qur'an. قال الألباني رحمه الله وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْمُرَادِ بِقَوْلِهِ صَاحِبْ الْقُرْآنِ حَافِظُهُ عَنْ ظَهْرِ قَلْبِ. And what is intended by the صاحب of the Qur'an is the one who has memorized it by heart. Who has memorized it by heart. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم يَأُمُّ الْقَوْمُ أَقْرَأُهُمْ لِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ, that the one who leads the people in prayer is the one who is أَقْرَأُهُمْ, who has read, yani who is the best reader. He said the meaning of the best reader of the book of Allah, أَحْفَظُهُمْ, the one who has memorized it best. And we know that from the hadith of the little boy who was the leader of the people, of his people in prayer, even though he was 7 years old or 6 years old, because he was the one who not had the best reading, he was the one who memorized the Qur'an the most. So the excellence and superiority of some people over others in terms of their levels or degrees in paradise, it is in accordance, the Shaykh says, هو على حسب الحفظ في الدنيا, what that person has memorized in this world. Not according to what he will read on that day, and he'll read a lot and he's going to keep going. This is not what is understood here, and in this is an indication of the apparent excellence and the superiority of the person who has memorized the Qur'an. However, لكن بشرط أن يكون حافظه لوجه الله تبارك وتعالى ليس للدنيا ودرهم ودينار. And this is with the condition though, that the person has memorized the Qur'an for the sake of Allah, for the face of Allah, for the face of Allah, not for something of the worldly matters, yani of wealth or money. So this is very important. I think it's very important, yani, to show the importance of memorizing the Qur'an. It's going to be a means through which some people are going to rise up to higher degrees in Jannah. And I'm going to mention a couple of other hadith just quickly. Maybe I won't even read them in Arabic for the sake of time, because I know we're up against the time right now. Another hadith that's reported by Al-Bukhari from Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, the likeness of the one who reads the Qur'an, وَهُوَ حَافِظٌ لَهُ, the likeness of the one who reads the Qur'an while he has memorized it. هُوَ حَافِظٌ لَهُ, yani, he memorized the Qur'an, yani, by heart. He will be with the safara, kiram al-barara, yani, the noble, righteous scribes, the recording angels. And the likeness of the one who reads the Qur'an, who memorizes the Qur'an, وَيَتَعَاهَدُهُ, but he does it with difficulty. Does it with difficulty. وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَدِيدٌ, it's difficult for him. فَلَهُ أَجْرَانٌ, he will have two rewards. Two rewards, a double reward. Reward for the effort, yani, that he makes, yani, for reciting the Qur'an, and then for the effort he makes in memorizing the Qur'an with difficulty. With difficulty. So even for the old people who have difficulty, there's a greater reward for the person who memorizes with difficulty, a double reward because of that difficulty. So don't let that be a reason for us not to memorize. And the last hadith, and it's not the last hadith here, but the last hadith I'm going to read, is reported by Imam Ahmed in the Musnad, and al-Tabarani, and al-Hakim, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it's Sahih, in Sahih al-Jami'ah, hadith number 3882, in which it's reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that as-siyam and al-Qur'an will intercede for the abd on yawm al-qiyamah. The Siyam will say, "Oh my Rabb, I prevented him from food and his desires during the daytime, so let me intercede for him." And the Quran will say to Allah, "I prevented him from sleep during the night because he was up reciting the Quran, so let me intercede for him," and both of them will intercede. And it's also mentioned that there is a weak hadith, and we should just know that it's mentioned in a hadith that is weak, it's da'if, that the person who has memorized the Quran and acts upon it, and he makes what it makes lawful as lawful, and what it considers to be haram as haram, then he will intercede for 10 people from his household on Yawm al-Qiyamah, even though all of them were obligated to enter the hellfire. Hadith is da'if. And just as a note, in case we see it somewhere, then we'll be careful. Allahu musta'an. Okay, so what remains is very, very brief, and there's no time left. Allahu musta'an. Kabul stop, no problem, inshallah. How much time between that and the comma? And I already used it all up? 13 minutes? Oh, 13 minutes?
13 minutes.
Oh, okay. I can't read numbers at all anymore. Okay, I'm going to do the second point. I'm not going to go to the third point, though. Second point is very, very brief. The second point, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen says, "Ihris ala hifdhi ma tayassara min sahih sunnati rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa min thalika hifdh umdat al-ahkam." And in the second point, the Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen says, and after the concentration on memorizing the Quran and reading the Quran with tadabbur and fahm and writing down the points of benefit that a person finds from it, he says, "Ihris ala hifdh ma tayassara min sahih sunnati ar-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa min thalika hifdh umdat al-ahkam." So a person should be diligent and eager in memorizing whatever they find easy from the authentic narrations of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Note he said, "Min sahih sunnati rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Not just memorizing anything, but making sure that what you're memorizing is authentic. And the Shaykh also says here, "Ma tayassara." He didn't say like he said the Qur'an, yani ihris ala hifdh al-Qur'an, kitabullah, yani Qur'an completely. No, he said, whatever a person is able to do, memorize from the authentic sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And an example of that is the memorization of the book Umdatul Ahkam. Shaykh Abdul Razak just briefly says, "Nassa rahimahullah ala hadha al-kitab al-mubarak, Umdatul Ahkam, lil-imam Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah ta'ala." Yani that the Shaykh has explicitly mentioned, may Allah have mercy upon him, explicitly mentioned this blessed book, Umdatul Ahkam, that is authored or collected, hadith collected by Al-Imam Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah ta'ala. And then he says, yani in the footnote, he quotes, there's a quote here from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen concerning this particular book. Yani the book that the Shaykh mentions here, and of course, when he says memorize from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so there are lots of books, and there are smaller books and easier books, but the Shaykh mentioned this book for three reasons, that he mentions here in the footnote, that comes from his explanation of Umdatul Ahkam. And Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in his explanation of Umdatul Ahkam, he says, "Kitab Umdatul Ahkam." This book, Umdatul Ahkam, "min ma ittafaq alayhi al-Bukhari wa Muslim." That's the first distinguishing feature of this book. It is a book that contains hadith that are agreed upon by al-Bukhari and Muslim. So that's like azim. The hadith that are agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. فَيَكُونُ الْمُعْتَمِلْ عَلَيْهِ مُعْتَمِدًا عَلَى أَسَاسٍ لَا يَحْتَاجِ لَتَعَبْ فِي تَخْرِيجِ الْحَدِيثِ. And this is the second distinguishing feature, miza, of this book. The person who depends upon this book, they will be depending upon a foundation that doesn't require a lot of difficulty and hardship in examining or knowing the sources of the ahadith. And I would say, for example, if a person was memorizing Bulugh al-Maram, which is one of the great books of ahkam of hadith, a person will find great difficulty. In every hadith, one is from Abu Dawud, and another one is from Tirmidhi, and another one is from al-Muwatta, and another one is from al-Musnad, and this one is from Tirmidhi, Miraj, and Nasa'i. A person will find difficulty in knowing the sources of the hadith. Whereas with Umdatul Ahkam, the matter is simple. Yani all the hadith are from Bukhari and Muslim. Most of them are hadith that are agreed upon. Both Bukhari and Muslim narrated them, and some of them, a few of them, are only from either one of them. The third point the Shaykh makes concerning this book, وَإِذَا حَفِظَهَا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And if a person had memorized this book by the permission of Allah, no, he says, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ اسْتَطَاعَ أَنْ يَسْتَدِلُّ لِكُلِّ مَسْأَلَةٍ وَهُوَ مُطْمَئِنٌ. And if a person was able to memorize this book, they would be able to bring an evidence for every issue that comes, and they will be at rest with it. They will be comfortable. They will be confident that the evidence they bring in is from Bukhari and Muslim. So for these three reasons, that this book contains hadith agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim, and that the person who relies upon it will not have any difficulty in knowing the sources of the hadith. And also because the person will be able to use what's found in this book in every issue that they came across, being confident and comfortable that the evidence that they are using is unquestionable. It's the highest level of hadith that there is, a hadith that's agreed upon by both Bukhari and Muslim. Naam. For the sake of the study guide, I'm just going to read the third point and we're not going to discuss it. إحرس على التركيز والثبات بحيث لا تأخذ العلم نطفا من هذا شيء ومن هذا شيء لأن هذا يضيع وقتك ويشتت ذئنك. The third matter on the path of seeking knowledge that we're going to discuss next week is the Shaykh is saying be diligent in التركيز, focusing on what you're studying والثبات, and sticking to something, being firm upon it, such that you don't take knowledge, notafan, taking a little from here and a little from there, and all over the place, because doing so, this will waste your time, and it will, scatter your mind, because you'll be all over the place. And we'll talk about this next week, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to stop with this. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grants success in doing whatever we do. Sincerely for his sake alone, with ikhlas, and that we do it in accordance with the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we ask Allah out of his mercy and his kindness and his generosity that he recognize, record and reward our good deeds and pardon, forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that he grant us al-thabat, steadfastness, firmness upon as-sirat al-mustaqim, and that he grant good health to those amongst us who are sick, and that he shower his rahmah upon those who have passed away. Fill their graves with light, make them spacious, and protect them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire, and admit them into paradise. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief and His protection to the Muslims, men, women, and children who are being persecuted and slaughtered and murdered in Palestine and in other places in the Muslim world. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them from before them and from behind them, and from their right and from their left, and from above them and from below them. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the defender of the believers, and Allah is the one who does whatever He wills, and He is the one from whom help is sought. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.